You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
March 12th, 2025. Another very pleasant start here in north central Wisconsin. Got the sun is shining, temperature right at 30 degrees. I am Chad Holmes. It is the hump day edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll find out about the weather. In fact, we could be getting that first severe weather of the spring season coming up in the next couple of days. We'll talk to our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, all about it coming up in about 14 minutes or so at 8:21. Coming up in the second hour of the program, normally we would be talking to Sean Wright, but Sean is down in Florida, and I know he's been hanging out at some spring training baseball while doing a little bit of other things as well. But so we like the fact that Sean is having some fun down there. I was actually talking to him about it after his last appearance. He was leaving. He said, "Yep, going down there, and it's going to be, you know, he's actually picked out the ballparks he wanted to see because it's some of them are harder to get into than others." And Sean,
so why isn't there not a spring training report?
Well, he'll come back.
Oh, he'll come back.
Whatever.
Oh, he's on vacation.
But we will have Tammy Stasinski from the Grand Theater coming in hour number two to talk about what's happening at the Grand while Sean is off recharging the batteries, because that man just goes.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about what a job that he has done bringing in some of the incredible performers and performances at the Grand Theater. So we'll talk to Tammy about what is going on at the Grand coming up in hour number two. And of course, we will wrap things up in hour number two with our daily history lesson, including our number for the day quiz with the one and only Mr. Ian Welsh, who is 1 for 2 so far this week.
Yep.
And we'll see whether or not you can get back over 500 later on today as we wrap up the show. So, Ian, are you going to be ready for that? You going to be set to go?
Do my best.
Well, you know, the question.
Yesterday's question was pretty obscure.
Yeah, how much food, how many pounds of food you can eat in your lifetime. I agree with you, Ian. The highest number.
I got to tell you right now, I got to say, I am very, very disappointed that we're starting the show off here this morning and you're already giving excuses for what happened yesterday. I am disappointed, at the least.
I made an educated guess. I agree with you, Ian. I guess the highest number.
Don't be a suck up this early.
trying to be nice to him, you know.
I guess, you know, you got to keep the guy who's got the microphone buttons,
yeah, otherwise,
you know,
I'd be,
turn us on and off.
I'd be, mouth would be moving, but nothing would be heard. So.
But you hear the voice across the way of Mr. Bob. Look, Bob, good to have you back.
Good morning, and good morning to everybody out there.
What you up to? What's happening?
Well, I'm kind of in recuperation for something different than what you were recuperating from, and that was running throughout the hinterlands and doing game upon game upon game upon game and everything else involved. And I totally understand, you know, the look that you had in your eye, like a little sigh of relief. That's okay.
Now deep breath. Yep.
Take a little breath here. But In fact, hopefully, like maybe in our last segment, I'll kind of give you more of a reason why I'm kind of in a recuperating
we'll do that.
Attitude.
Absolutely. But it's good to see you. Great to have you on board again. Mm-hmm. And I know that we normally talk the sports at the end, but I'm bummed out by Junior Bridgman dying.
Oh, gosh, yes.
What a great, and because he is beyond sports in terms mm-hmm. of, I think, what the American dream is, what somebody that has incredible will, incredible smarts, what his life story, and I said to somebody last night, that man should have been president. I mean, when you look at somebody who has the emotion, you hear the stories about how he has reached out to others, how he's been a mentor to others. And then you look at his business acumen. You look at his NBA career. The man did everything. And he just became a part of the Bucks ownership last September.
Yeah.
And he was at a Boy Scouts event yesterday in Louisville when he was stricken. But when you one of the things that jumped out, because I was reading a little bit last night after I got home pretty late, and I actually watched the end of the Bucks game. I didn't even realize it until I got the Bucks game ended and I got online and I saw Junior Bridgman passed away. And one of the parts of his biography that I did not know was back when he was growing up in the Chicago area.
Yeah.
His family was so poor that, and I found it ironic that he was at a Boy Scout event yesterday, but it cost $1.25 for a fee to become a Boy Scout.
A member of Boy Scouts.
And his family was so poor, they couldn't afford the $1.25. Mm-hmm. And then he went on to become a basketball star at the high school level at Louisville, played until Giannis and Chris Middleton came along. He had played more games for the Milwaukee Bucks than anybody in their illustrious history, played 12 years in the NBA, and then he went into business. And not only did he go into business, the man became a mogul. I mean, but at the same time, he was somebody that would go and speak to NBA players about financial responsibility. And, I mean, just an incredible life. And the thing is, those were my favorite teams. I was growing up, and those great teams in the early 80s.
Yeah. Well, I was lucky enough to be he was the player with the Bucks at the time when I was covering Bucks games, because I was working in the Milwaukee area. So at the press outings, the media, and also game for game thing, and without a doubt, at the post game, even if Junior Bridgman, maybe scored 6 points and didn't do much, he was almost like a go to guy that you knew you were going to get a good interview, not because he was just talkative, but because he said things. I can't remember a time where I heard him doing an interview where he fell into the sports cliche type of a verbiage, like, oh, we came to play, we had our backs against the wall, all those cliches that other players and coaches love to do. And he would break things down for you and say, this is the reason why this didn't work, or why Bob Lanier was having trouble this game, and he was just very, very methodical, but just a heck of a mind. I mean, and he could express himself so well. That's why on Facebook I posted a little thing that says one of my favorites, and not just because of a player. I'm talking about someone to talk to. I mean, media days. He'd be, he'd be shooting a breeze with all of us, talking about the pictures for the promotions and that stuff. They had to stand for them a certain way and all that, and he would just smirk and goes, "Well, I got to make myself look really big now," and he'd stand there, and he was just a great guy.
John McLaughlin, I heard him speak, and he said that I've never met a more humble person in my life. The finest person I've ever known. And he didn't say anything about basketball player.
Yeah, the person.
Person. And every story that was read, somebody would ask him, come and speak for 30 minutes, and it'd be 2 hours.
How is there?
There was somebody that had, I was trying to find Junior Bridgman, and they found an email because he was a Wendy's owner. Many, many Wendy's stores.
Sure.
And he found an email and sent it out and said, snap of the finger, a response, and set up when you see leaders that fall short so often, you have this man who became so successful and did not stiff arm people. He actually brought people in, and we need that in our lives, and that's why it's such a tragedy. And I felt so much better about Bucks ownership when they brought him in, because you knew that he was going to be a voice of not just reason, but of right.
And also a voice of community.
Yes.
Which was something that Junior Bridgman believed in greatly. I mean, when he became a member of the Bucks, he didn't just like pick up his salary and season's over, I'm out of town, you know, I'm heading wherever I wanted to go. And again, that's if somebody wants to live someplace else out in the off season, that's fine. That's their choice. But Junior really worked hard at just being a great, very accessible, and a leader for the city of Milwaukee and for the state of Wisconsin, because he found a team, because he was originally drafted by the Los Angeles Lakers, and he was part of the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar trade that moved Jabbar, you know, out west, and Junior Bridgman and several other players were part of that deal.
Mm-hmm.
But how many current athletes you could see right now, if they got drafted by L.A. or New York, and all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute, we're trading you, and you're being traded to Milwaukee. What would be the attitude for a good amount of players?
Massive disappointment.
They're with you, how can I go there? What, it's cold there. Oh, I can't make any extra money or do any extra things. And the nightclubs? What nightclubs? whatever the reasoning. Junior didn't look at any opportunity as something as a challenge or as something negative. He looked at it as an opportunity.
And even as an NBA player, when he was, you know, deciding, hey, there's going to be life after basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So many of them don't realize it. But he actually worked at the very bottom levels of Wendy's restaurants. While he was an NBA player, he would work in the offseason 18-hour shifts. He would clean the toilets. He would do everything. He learned the business from the bottom up, and that led to the success that he had. I mean, his life is as American as I think you could have, really. I mean, from the very bottom, but he just did it. He worked, and he unbelievable.
You know, the one thing that I equate Junior Bridgman with is he was a boss or an owner that everyone who worked for him or underneath him liked him.
Yeah.
Kind of like Herb Cole. And everyone who worked at Cole's always said, what a great guy he is. It was no envy.
And the thing about that, too, is it shows you can do it that right way and still be just as successful. Where the work is still done.
And everyone around him feels success.
And everybody wants to be part of the success.
The team. Yep.
I mean, what a loss. I mean, 71, he still had so much more to give. It really bummed me out last night, because the world needs more Junior Bridgmans. And so RIP to a great Buck and a great American. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a timeout. Come back with Brittany next here on WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It's unfortunate it's on the weekend.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. In addition, you can also join us by going to YouTube.com and go to the 98.9 WXCO channel on YouTube. And you can see a video stream of our program as well. And I forgot to mention, we'd love to have you be part of the program as well. Please give us a call or send us a text, 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. 382-9297. That number is either to call or to text. Either way, that will work. And of course, get out the app, because if you just open up the app, bring up 98.9 WXCO, then there's a button. All you have to do is hit the button. That will connect you. If you're calling, Ian will pick up the phone and you'll hear his friendly voice, or you could just hit the button to text and send us your thoughts as well. Whether it's something we are talking about or something we're not talking about, we would love to hear what is on your mind. Also, we love to hear about what's going on in the weather. And the person that has all the information, of course, is our meteorologist. It is Brittany Merlot. And Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty darn well. I mean, I'm looking out again onto a Washington Street here in downtown Wausau. See, the sun is shining for the third straight day. Good looking start here in north central Wisconsin. And again, starting to feel like spring. And of course, maybe those folks who look at the calendar say it's not spring yet, but you and I know it's spring.
It's spring, you guys. It's spring. March, April, and May is spring. So March 1st already changed the books. So here we go. We've got the spring weather tying in exactly at the right time, where we just have that tug of war between winter and summer. So what we're doing right now is warming things up, feeling like spring, beautiful sunshine out there. I mean, the sun alone will put a smile on your face, even though there are some high clouds out there. It doesn't matter. It's bright. It's beautiful. Highs today will climb to the low to mid 50s. So warmer than yesterday, not as crazy as it was on Monday, or I should say, you know, over the weekend too, but we are going to get there. By tomorrow, we're looking at low 60s, still bright, beautiful, sun shining. Friday is when things start to change. Now, a lot of you have looked on your weather apps and it says, oh, 70s potentially. Yeah, that's possible, but I really think the 70s are going to be further southwest. I think we're going to hit the upper 60s. And I don't think you're going to like the day as much as you think you will, because it's going to be a cloudy one. It's going to be muggy. We're going to have humidity. Yeah. Curls. Your hair is going to curl. It's going to get gross out there. So it's going to really start to feel like some storms are coming, and they are. So we have chances of some few sprinkles Friday afternoon, and then the storms and the heavy rain move in at night. It's going to be along a line. It's going to push through probably after midnight through the overnight hours. And then it's going to turn into some light rain, which will eventually flip to some snow Saturday night and into Sunday. So a pretty big system, but my big level of concern is Friday night, because those storms could be strong to severe. We are right now in a marginal risk for them to be like that. And we're really looking at strong damaging wind gusts possible as that line moves through. So a rude awakening. Spring weather also means severe weather, too.
Not very good for the sinuses.
Right?
Ian goes right to the point.
Well, I have like the...
Right in the point, you know.
I don't know what it is, but for some reason, I have like these 24/7 allergies, which honestly, I don't think is a thing, but it's like, no matter what season it is, I always have like a stuffed up nose or a sore throat. I don't even know what it is. I talked to my doctor about it, and she couldn't explain it either, so...
Some mysteries are just that difficult.
Exactly.
<know?
laughs>
I hear there's like a snow melt allergy. So who knows? I mean, we're probably there right now. I've got the sniffles as well. So the season's changing. It does stuff to us. And when you get those big pressure systems moving through too, you feel your joints start to ache. Any of those bones that you broke? Yeah.
You know, that used to be always in forecasts, and the weather people always talk about the barometric pressure. You know, and myself personally, I believe that the barometric pressure causes a lot of those physical, you know, where you clogged up nose and things of that nature. And there are times where you wake up and maybe sunny skies and looks great outside, and you wake up and you feel, I don't just feel like I've, you know, I haven't even slept. And you look at the barometric pressure and it's, you know, like off. Yeah, that's what happens. Our bodies are our own, you know, weather prognosticators sometimes.
And Brittany did all that study. And all she did was listen to the body.
Yeah.
All you had to do is that. Get the finger wet, stick it in the air, see which way the wind's blowing. Yeah. You know.
By the way, Brittany, I love the sweatshirt that you're wearing.
Oh, thank you.
Am the storm. I want to get about 20 of those because tomorrow I'm going to a hockey banquet with the Central Wisconsin Storm. They should all get those sweaters.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. They could all they be should.
The
Storm.
I thought that would be that could be the warm up or whatever, you know, out there with us, you know. No, I just think that's fantastic. No, that's in a no perfect. Was it coincidental or did you want to say, "Hey, we got some storms coming, so I want to fit the it's like costuming for a show here. Perfect costuming."
Yes. I costume for a show, and if I can, I try to.
All right, Brittany, give us the details here for our towards the end of the week, as we hear in the middle of the week, our down the hump day forecast as we get closer and closer to the weekend.
Yes. So today, sunny, bright, beautiful, highs of about the low to mid-50s. We'll climb to the low 60s tomorrow with the sunshine continuing. Clouds roll in on Friday. It starts to become breezy, muggy, warmer, highs in the upper 60s with storms hitting Friday night. Some of those could be strong to severe, damaging wind gusts, a lot of rain. Could see some flooding, rising rivers after that passes. Because we're still looking at rain rolling through on and off Saturday, highs will be in the low 50s at this point. And then we really cool things down into Sunday, where that rain starts to flip over to some snow Saturday night into Sunday morning, and highs on Sunday only in the low to mid 30s.
Whoa.
Don't worry though, it'll only be one day. We'll warm things up next week.
It is March.
Yeah.
It is the roller coaster of weather, the month of March. Brittany, thanks again for the info. Have yourself a great Wednesday, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
Bye, Brittany.
You too. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Hope you feel better.
Right now in downtown Wausau, fair skies and 30 degrees. Winds out of the east at 7 miles per hour. The dew point is 20. Relative humidity of 66%. The barometer, what's your body tell you about?
Pretty good for today. Knees feel a lot better than yesterday.
29.85 inches barometer. Visibility of 10 miles. Coming up, we got an information update, news, weather, sports, and then back with more with Bob Look, Ian Welsh, and myself, Chad Holmes. The time is 8:29, 98.9 WXCO.
Keep the man up on his feet.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.FM. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, if you have something on your mind, 715-382-9297. 715-382-9297. Call us or text us and we will talk about what's on your mind too, because obviously we have ideas on what to talk about, but boy, so many times it's about what you people think, because we miss some things, and again, we want to talk about the things that are important to you as we continue here on this Wednesday morning. And again, Bob Look joins us every other Wednesday for the first hour of the show, and it's hard to believe it's the 12th of March. Does it feel like sometimes in some areas of life, it feels like things go by really quickly, and then when it comes to politics, it goes by really, really slow. I mean, life goes by so fast as we get older, but with the political realm, it feels like it's been about 2 years and not 2 months, and it just is the craziness. And again, we talked about Junior Bridgman, who I think does the right things, and then we have what's going on in government now, and it's just like whether it's at the state level, I still think that we need courage. We need people that are going to stand up and say, hey, it's time to start doing the right things. And then, unfortunately, we don't see enough of it.
Well, I know that Civic Media has special programming coming up.
Perfect. Yep.
5 o'clock, 5 till 7,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Discussing state issues that maybe sometimes right now are getting a backseat to a lot of the other issues that are being pressed upon us by ineffective and unqualified people heading our government functions, from defense departments to house and urban development, education, whatever, all of things being run by bozos.
Well, and process is important. And the thing is, I don't believe that Tony Evers has all the right answers.
No.
I don't think that Robin Voss has all the wrong answers. I think that it would be such a breath of fresh air is if Voss said, okay, we're not going to come out and call everything that the governor proposes dead on arrival. Because I can imagine that there must be at least a couple of things in there that the Republicans could support. And just start that process a little differently than the last three times. Because this is the fourth budget process that the governor has led.
Well, remember a candidate for state senate just a few years ago that I happened to be running against, who just outwardly just says if a bill or legislation is put in front of me that's sent in by a Democratic representative, I vote no against it no matter what it says. So where do you go from there? Where do you go to, like, you know, if there's an issue, a problem or something, how do you get to a solution? That's just kind of, you know, that's why we're having that 2-hour discussion today about, you know, school funding, and now having what was it, like 91 referendi, or is that the right thing? Plural referendi,
referenda, something like that. Whatever.
But you know, 91 separate referendum questions in various communities throughout the state of Wisconsin, just to augment the lack of budget participation by the state legislature. The money and the power to get things done, and it just stands still, and then people are wondering why all these referendums are coming on the board. Well, that's either that or, you know, this ain't gonna work. And some people think, well, good, we'll prove that, show it that it doesn't work. Well, it doesn't work if you don't try to make it work.
And again, as part of the discussion is when one side says, for the, and the first step, dead on arrival, that nothing that you put in that budget, it's all dead on arrival. Why then would the other side want to have discussions with you then? I mean, it poisons the well from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And I think that over the years, we've seen times where in our history, whether it's our state or our national history, that there are deals that can be made. It's not that difficult. And the thing about it is, Pat Kreitler talks often when he was in Madison as a state senator, talking about how when during his years, they had this huge structural deficit that they had to deal through. And they were able to have discussions and actually
figure out a way out.
Yeah, do things that work. It's a lot easier when you're trying to figure out how to spread the pie when it comes to a surplus. And that's concerning in itself, that you can't even, when it's sort of the easy answers, it's like you were talking about your educational career, about algebra and then advanced algebra. Well, this, you know, advanced algebra is where you're trying to figure out how to get rid of a massive structural deficit. This is the easy stuff, and you can't get it right now when we have a major, because as much as we may hope it doesn't happen, at some point in the future, there's going to be a situation where you're going to have to make some very hard choices.
Yeah, I remember, I'm old enough to remember Governor Lee Dreyfus.
Lee Sherman Dreyfus. Yeah,
Lee Sherman Dreyfus, and when he was there, and one of the things that he ran and won the governorship was, he said there was a surplus. You know, not the amount that it is now, today, but there was a surplus, and his big push was, well, what we're going to do is we're going to divide, pay it out to all the citizens of Wisconsin. I think it was like $50 for a married couple and 30. I'm trying to remember the numbers, but it was just real. And they would send out these checks made out to your name for that 50, 30, that one-shot little deal, because it's the people's money. That was the whole basis of the argument. Okay, good. Here comes the check. And okay, you bought some more groceries, and then they come back to the
and
next
back at
budget.
At that point, you fill up your gas tank.
Yeah, but then you get down to the next budget. Now we got this huge deficit. Oh my gosh! It's like, in my, when I've got my checkbook in my hand, I try not to reach zero. And I think a lot of people out there listening, you know, understand where I'm coming from.
I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, well, you're sitting there and you're going, okay, how are we going to get from point A to point B? I use this analogy of you're running the Indianapolis 500. You're going in for one more pit stop, and you go in there and his fill her up. He says, no, we can't. We got to hold back. We don't agree with filling up. And then they push you out on the track, and then after a couple of laps, you run out of gas, yeah, and you lose the race. Now, what did you achieve by doing that? If you're not going to invest on the goals to get things accomplished and done, then why have goals?
And the thing about it is, you know, when you talk about a surplus and the idea of either tax cuts or targeted spending in areas that you feel that are important, there are people that have studied this and talk about, and that's the thing about, you know, the federal cutting of jobs and spending. And there, I've seen a number of stories in different areas that have proven that, you know, for every dollar of federal investment, or in this case, every dollar of state investment, $3.50 comes in, or $8 comes in.
Right. And it's an investment.
And there has to be at some point, and I know that some people in terms of government, they never like to hear from the experts, but doggone it, people, there are people that actually study these issues and stop with the simplistic aspects of it. And again, that's a frustrating aspect as well. It's just that, oh yeah, we're cutting back, we're saving no, you're in the end, you're costing taxpayers money, but at the same time, the people that, like myself, that feel like, you know, the investment is well worth it, have to be better in terms of explaining it as well. I just get the sense that a lot of folks who may disagree with what's going on, both at the state level in terms of the ideas that Representative Voss and Senator LeMahieu have, and then at the federal government, the ideas that Mr. Musk and other Republicans have, are not properly explaining why that these investments are important and that they pay for themselves and then some.
Well, the sudden warning from the GOP to telling their elected representatives, quit having town hall meetings, because it's reflecting bad. When you have citizens like you, me, the people listening to us right now or watching us on the YouTube, you know, people have, you know, needs and expect things done because they do pay taxes. And then when they say, what are you doing? Why are you getting rid of people from the Veterans Administration to run the VA? And a lot of those people are veterans themselves, and you're making their jobs go away for something that, for the most part, veterans are just, if it wasn't for that, Lord knows how many people would be underneath overpasses, on streets, benches. I hate to go into when I get too fired up sometimes when I try to explain things, so I have to edit my wordage here. But
yeah,
you can't solve problems. But what you can do is try to eliminate the raw end, the worst thing that could possibly happen. Get it back to some place where it's manageable. Manage it, and just going about things saying, I don't care if they're coming up with the idea, I don't agree with it, I'm always going to vote against it. So where does that leave democracy?
You know, and that's kind of, it's like the idea of don't let the perfect get in way of the good or the very good. And actually, it reminds me of an old Lombardi quote that we're going to strive for perfection, but we're never going to get it, but then we'll reach excellence.
That's right.
Again, and I think that if you're looking for the perfect answers, there's never going to be a perfect answer. And again, I just think that our politics, unfortunately, have got to the point where the idea of looking for excellence in these decisions. And again, it's overly simplistic maybe, but we just don't see enough of that right now. And it's all, and again, like you brought up this special event tonight,
yes,
where you have these discussions where you, I think the more education that we have, the more understanding that we have.
I hope that Civic Media may consider rerunning it or rerunning several of the segments in other day parts to maybe pry it into the minds of, you know, some of the people, because not everybody has 5 till 7 p.m. open up true. Tonight, right? You know,
right.
And that's why they have reruns. That's why.
And by the way, having the discussions about those different issues tonight that are going to be part of that, mm-hmm. as part of the overall umbrella of the importance of this state Supreme Court race, you have that, and you compare it to the 32nd spots that we see on both sides. They're terrible.
Yeah.
Awful. It does nothing to advance democracy. It does not advance civic engagement at all, because it turns people off.
Well, that reminds me of the story of my one moment of dealing with Brad Schimmel.
Mm.
And this was, I was a guest at the Wausau Police Awards Banquet. This is after I lost my wife. You know, that's 2017. Yeah, whatever. I think it's 2017. And so I was at this banquet, and Schimmel was there, and I was introduced to him by one of the police officials. And I said, well, pleasure meeting you. He says, well, I'm sorry about, you know, what happened in the situation. I says, and I said to him point blank, and I went, well, maybe that would bring about the consideration of red flag laws here in the state of Wisconsin, at least in, you know, at least let's talk about them, because this was basically that kind of a situation where somebody who had a past experience, not a past experience, but past accusations of abuse, you know, was allowed to get armament. His response to me was, well, we don't want to infringe on his right to bear arms. And I just looked at him and I went, so what you're saying is, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is not as important. And he just, well, it's nice meeting you. And he turned around and walked away. So there's my story. Consider it when you get in there to vote on April 1st.
8:49 is the time. We'll be back. One more segment with Bob Look here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Life is so strange. When you don't know, how can you tell where you're going to? You can't be sure of any situation.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coming up in the next hour, Tammy Stasinski from the Grand Theater will be joining us, along with Bob Look here in hour number one. And yeah, I was saying that, you know, now able to take a deep breath here after running around all the time, and you were saying as well that, you know, it's time for a deep breath, but in a little bit of a different way.
Yeah. I want to tell the audience about a lady by the name of Teresa. And Teresa liked to be called Terry because she thought that Teresa made her sound old.
Mm.
Which is, you know, Teresa's more of a name a Catholic, you know, mom and dad would give their child, their first daughter. And she was good student, to the point where she wanted to be in the medical profession, wanted to be a nurse for all the right reasons of being a nurse, you know, helping people get healthy, taking care of them when they needed to have care taken. And coming from a blue collar family, Teresa really had to work hard at, you know, getting the job done. You know, the parents helped as much as possible, but couldn't help all the way. But, you know, she had jobs and that. She did get her education up at Rochester, Minnesota. And for all you people who know medical things, you know that Rochester, Minnesota, it's got a pretty neat place called Mayo Clinic there, where she was able to intern and learn the profession well. So well to the point where she was in demand when she was young. And to the point where she was hired by St. Luke's Hospital out of Milwaukee, which I don't know if it's today, but back then, those years ago, that was considered the heart specialists in the state of Wisconsin. And for you history buffs out there, if you remember, the person who got the very first heart transplant in the state of Wisconsin, Mrs. Betty Anik, 1968. And Teresa was a member of that operation crew, and her continuing care for Mrs. Betty Anik was left in the hands of the nurses of the St. Luke's from that cardiac care thing. And she, Mrs. Anik, I think it lasted 50 some days, but that was a start. Where now, heart transplant is like, not, you know, take it easy, but it's that was the start of it. Many years being a nurse, and you get all those kind of injuries being a nurse, because people weren't that well versed as how to lift, you know, patients and how to move them. And a lot of times it was just the nurses at that time, in those years, back in the 60s and 70s, it was basically all females. And here are these, you know, males trying to lift up heavy patients and stuff. Takes its toll in your life. And being a good mother, you know, two sons, and working hard. And when you become a nurse in a family, it seems that now the medical expertise is used by everyone who's a relative. You have fourth cousins or fifth cousins. I have this sore shoulder. I think I'll talk to Teresa. She can maybe help me out. She becomes the Britannica for the whole family. And it says, my sister, Teresa, she gave me some great lessons, you know, in life. Like when I was getting out of ninth grade, you know, going to senior high school, 10th grade, and algebra I just struggled with in ninth grade. Coming from parochial school, Catholic school, to public school in ninth grade, it was like I was way behind. She told me, you know, and my guidance counselor, well, you got to take advanced algebra and trig. My sister says, don't do that. Take geometry. Go right to geometry. And the counselor says, you can't do that. I said, well, it's my choice. I'm making the choice. Well, you're gonna suffer. Well, I got in there, and geometry to me was like a piece of cake. She knew my way of thinking. She knew what made me go from point A to point B and helped shorten that trip for me. And the reason why I'm a little tired this time was last week my nephew gave me a call and let me know that my sister, Teresa, was not doing well. And we had set up a home hospice care. So last week I spent majority of my time taking care of her for her last days, very much like what I did for my mother when we set up home health care, home hospice care back in 1996, where I flew back from South Dakota, took care of her. And she passed away this past Saturday morning at the age of 78. And the one thing about her, you know, I just wanted to say her name on the air, Teresa, and her married name, Batufsky. But of course, it was when she was first born, it was Teresa Look. And
a wonderful tribute. And
I'm so sorry.
Sorry, Bob. And obviously, that's a wonderful story, though. That
I just wanted somebody people to know that what she went through and right. How really talented she was.
Very sorry for your loss, and very happy that you had a wonderful sister in your life, Bob.
I ruined her teenage years because she was 9 years older than me. So, hey, when she was a teenager, she had to, you know, babysit the baby, me,
Bob. Thanks for coming in.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.